Today on Real Radio.
There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The first and last time Paul ever used the coming of Christ in the past tense in his life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series within a series now, taken from the first 8 verses of chapter 5. Paul writes about our temporal bodies and how they will be different from our eternal bodies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing his series of lessons called Tell Me More About Heaven.
Are you ready? Now listen, a guy giving you false doctrine never tells you in advance, I'm going to be giving you some false doctrine. We're going to show it to you on the screen because this is out there right now and Christians are reading this in the name of Christianity. And it's growing, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, I would be remiss as a pastor if I didn't show you this. Did you hear me? Some of you are going to be offended, and I'm going to tell you right now, take your offense and take it to God and deal with it. It may be the Holy Spirit throwing some wake up. What's this stuff called? When you put the smelling salts under your nose spiritually. I was going to say wake up juice, but that's not it. Smelling salts. Okay, let's put it on the screen, you guys. Listen carefully. But don't read it yet. We'll read it together. Listen, as I go through this, if you begin to say things like this in your mind, well, that's good. Yeah, I agree with that. You're messed up. You are messed up if you start agreeing with this. But listen how subtle Satan weaves. And listen, have a little bit of pity on Eve. Because if a man can do this to us, then imagine what Satan did to Eve. Okay? When confronted with a difficult passage in the Bible, stop. Have we all been confronted with a difficult passage of the Bible? Yes. One needs to ask such simple questions as, is the way I am hearing this the way I have come to know God in Christ? Stop. That is satanic language. When you read your Bible, Christian, you better read it carefully. The sentence I just read a moment ago supersedes your discernment over the teaching of God Himself. The verse endorses your feelings, your perspective, your view over the Word of God itself. Watch. Is the way I am hearing this, do we always hear things right? How do we know? For example, how do we know if Satan didn't speak to us or was it God? Think of it for a moment. I've been praying, and I got this, and I got that, the other thing, and I don't know what's of Satan and what's of God. It's easy to find out. Read the Bible. When Satan tempted Jesus, what did he use? Did he use the Amway marketing guide? Satan used portions of the Bible to try to deceive Jesus. Okay, watch. So is the way I'm hearing this the way I have come to know God in Christ? Translation, I come to know God in Christ based upon how I hear things. Immediately, I become the interpreter of what is true. Let's keep going. Does this fit the picture I have of God that Jesus has revealed to me? How are you going to know if it's Jesus revealing it to you when, A, the Bible says in the last days, many false Christs will arise, false prophets and false teachers. There'll be other gospels that will come. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Right? Watch this. Does it match the character of God? Those are beautiful words. Whom I have come to know through Christ? You'll never know the character of God unless you know your Bible. Are you ready? You guys all ready for the punchline? If it does, then the passage, he's talking Bible. The passage, the Bible, is valid. Stop right there. If it does, then the passage is valid. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Is this the Bible? Listen, does it contain the Word of God or is it the Word of God? If it contains the Word of God, throw it away. Because if it contains the Word of God, then portions of it is not. If it is the Word of God, then hang on to it for your dear life. The moment this false teacher says that the passage is valid based upon my assessment of it, then that passage is valid and authoritative. If not, then I cannot accept its validity or authority. Did you all hear that? That is the devil's voice right here. This guy is very big growing in the Christian church and the world today. Churches are inviting him to come and speak. And he teaches that if you don't feel right about the verse, then you don't, it's not authoritative and nor is it valid. And churches who do not teach the Bible have to have guys like this come in from the outside to prop up the anemic, powerless, and boldless ministries that would host such a thing. You need to look at this long and hard. Sounded kind of cool at times. And then the shoe drops. I determine, based upon how I have heard and read and felt, what a passage of Scripture, if it's valid or authoritative or not. I would hope if I ever said something like that, you would get up and run out of this building with your hair on fire. You said, Pastor, did you have to put his name there? I was going to put his picture too, because I'm biblical. Paul the Apostle called Hymenaeus and Alexander out by name. They didn't have pictures back then. I'm sure Paul would have posted his picture on a milk carton if possible. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. Your soul is in the balances, and Satan knows it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 says, Jesus says, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Then immediately they left their nets and followed what they felt to be true." They followed what made them feel good. No, it says they followed him. We need to be bold in life. How can we be? Follow him. Don't supersize these saints of God, Peter, Paul, the rest of them. They were men like you and I, but they were so bold. Yeah, you know why? They listened to the word of God speaking to them. The Holy Spirit empowered them, and they surrendered to that power and to that word. And they went forward, and they had a plan that God had set for their life, and they did what God told them to do. And this is not exempt from you and I enjoying. And then here we go, verse 8. Rest. Oh, this is fun. Rest while living out your life for him. Rest while living out your life for God. Rest. See, what do you mean rest? This is good. Listen. Rest in these truths. Here they come. Out of verse 8, we are confident. You got to circle that word confident. Pleased. Rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is an amazing statement. What a profound announcement. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What does this mean? Write it down in your notes. Win, win for us. Win-win. The word confident, here it is. It means to be bold, to have courage provided to you, to have boldness supplied to you. The word absent means to be vacant or to be legally declared absent. It means to no longer be on the roll. It means to be unaccounted for in an area. So watch this. We are provided with confidence and well-pleased, happy about it, joyful about the fact that there's coming a time when we will no longer have our names on a roll here on earth. You won't go home to your address. You won't have a credit card anymore. Your California driver's license won't apply. You will have moved, man. Paul is saying there's a day coming when I'm moving. And I rest in that. Next word, present. Present with the Lord. To be absent from the body, to die, is to immediately be present, instantaneously. Think of that for a moment. This is kind of freaky weird, I'll admit. But I would think, are any of you claustrophobic? Raise your hands. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not, but when I think of thoughts like this, being locked in a box, I don't know if you've ever read John McCain's story when he was in Vietnam in a prison for years. John McCain, you know the senator, John McCain? But they put him in a box, and they locked the box, and they would say to him, you're going to die, we're just going to let you die in the box. Now, I don't know about you, but if go home and lay down in your closet and shut the door and see if that starts freaking you out. But can you imagine being in a box and somebody says to you, oh, by the way, we've decided you're going to die in there. And they just play with your head for years doing that. Imagine the torture that's going on in your mind. Imagine being buried alive. Imagine being put in a coffin and you're still awake and put down in the ground. Think of the thought, black. You know Houdini was buried like that. Did you know that? Houdini, when he died, he said, when I die, put a telephone in my coffin. Because I'm going to beat death, and when I beat death from 6 feet under, I'll call you, dig me up, and get me out of here. Harry Houdini, they buried him with a phone in his coffin. We're still waiting for the call. Listen, Christian, there is no such thing as a dark place for the Christian. The Bible says, because of Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. Listen, if you're in the hospital room and you're looking around and you start fading away, have you ever passed out? You ever faded away? And it gets dark like that from the outside in? Whoa! Tunnel vision. Man, it goes dark here and then it goes light there in an instant. No grave, no dark, no lid for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is awesome. Jesus did that for you. Merry Christmas or Happy New Year, whatever you need to hear. He did it for you. You would never be held by the grave, ever. Well, what about those who are not Christians? Look, don't care. I don't care. Well, at what point do I start feeling the flames of hell? I don't care to know. Well, if I'm not a Christian, how dark is it for? I don't care to know. All I do know, the Bible says that hell is pitless. Okay, you think the log ride at Disneyland's intense or whatever it might be? Pitless. Hotel of Horrors or whatever that drop is. Pitless. Forever falling, hell. A darkness so dark you can feel it. It kind of takes your lungs, your air out of your lungs. The Bible says there's nobody around you. You're alone. Forever falling. Absolutely dark. Tormented with pain. And it never stops. Why would you go there? You can't even, you couldn't sell that to somebody as a thrill ride. Why would you go there? Rest in what God has done for you. Listen, I want to build this up. Are you ready now? Here you go. This is it. Get these verses down, and we're going to end. We're going to come screaming across the finish line in total glory. Are you ready? And I hope, by the way, Lord, right in the middle of me reading these verses, I pray that there's a massive trumpet blast, and we were just studying that. Wouldn't that be awesome? Anyway. Philippians 1:6. What's our boldness? What's our guarantee? What do I rest in? By the way, this is written about 60 A.D. Keep that in mind for a second. 60 A.D. Being confident of this very thing. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:9. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. Rest in what God has promised. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait. Every true Christian is eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly, that is depressed body, that it may be conformed to his glorious, exalted body. John 3, verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Touch it, everybody. Touch your flesh. Pinch your finger. Pinch your arm. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You can touch it. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again. That's born again. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The word means any day now. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. We read this a moment ago, but watch. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Watch, verse 22. And if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And he goes on to say, or to hang out with you guys for your spiritual development. Paul is saying, I'd like to get out of here. Why? Because he was 100% confident of God keeping his word. We're almost done. We're almost done and we're ahead of schedule. Something's wrong here. John 6:38. Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me. Here it is. That of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. Final verse. Now, remember, I said in that moment, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in 60 AD. Now, nearly 10 years later. Remember, 10 years earlier, he had that boldness. I'm confident. I'm bold. He said, he who has begun a good work in you is going to complete it unto the day of Christ. He says to them, I'd have a desire to either be here or to be with God. I'd rather be with God. 10 years later, he writes this, what we're going to look at. Are you ready? And ask yourself this question. Did Paul lose any steam? Did he backslide? Was he bored? Was he just on cruise control regarding his faith? 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He's just been handed an edict, by the way, from the emperor of the Roman Empire, God on earth, according to the Romans. You little hook-nosed, ball-headed, bow-legged, weak in speech, Christian, we're cutting your head off. And there ain't nothing you can do about it because the gods have a representative on earth and he's called Caesar. And he just said, your head rolls, Paul. The Mamertine prison in downtown Rome, you can visit it today. It's still there. Paul's last place on earth. This is what he wrote. This is Paul's last words. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Stop right there. Keep it on the screen. The time of what? The time of your what? Paul, you what? My departure. Christian, listen to this. Paul says, I'm going home. It's been a tremendous life here. I've seen the world. I've watched tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands over the course of the last 30 years, people come to Christ, and it's been tremendous. I've seen the power of God. But I just found out how I'm going to go home. I'm not going to get run over by a donkey. I won't be struck by a camel. I'm not going to go down with the ship. I just found out that according to God's decree, God's going to use Caesar to cut off my head. It's going to be quick, but it's final. And I'm very happy about how final it's going to be. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he's writing, my departure's at hand. I'm going home. Do you hear his faith? Do you hear his confidence? None of this sniveling of, where's God now? Oh, are you kidding? Paul's going, here we go. Jesus, I'm ready. When that executioner comes in, I'm praying right now that he'll be open. Whatever's going on in his life as an executioner, may you've been working on his life for this moment, Jesus, because you know the moment that they raise that sword to cut off my head, I'm going to be giving that executioner the gospel. And I'm just going to preach it. So you, Lord, you bless that executioner, because I'm coming home. I'm departing this world. It's an awesome statement. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. This is on Lisa's dad's tombstone here in Fullerton. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me. Are you reading, everybody? Yes. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Church, where do crowns go? Can I ask you again? Act like you care. Where do crowns go? On your head. I just told you, Paul's going to get his head cut off. He's not bound by this world. Woo-hoo! Hey, Paul, did you hear? You're going to lose your head. Hey, in this world, the moment I blink, man, I'm going to be getting a crown. Paul, we just told you you're going to lose your head. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul, your ministry comes to an end. I'm going to see Jesus. My departure's at hand. Paul, you're not getting it, man. You're in denial. I am confident. You hear him? And this is the exact boldness and promise that's been given to you and I right now. There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The first and last time Paul ever used the coming of Christ in the past tense in his life. Because he heard from God, I'm going to be going home before Christ comes. He just heard it. What an amazing thing. What an awesome God we have. You know him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Tell Me More About Heaven. It's taken from the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul writes about our temporal bodies and how they will be different from our eternal bodies. Tell Me More About Heaven is actually a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of this particular topic, Pastor Jack has a great series of lessons on this subject on MP3 CD. It's called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? How Do We Get From Here to Heaven features a total of 17 messages in all, which focus on what Scripture says is required for us to spend eternity with our Creator. How Do We Get From Here to Heaven on MP3 CD? It's yours for your contribution of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. So call, click, or write today. Just be sure to mention it by name. How Do We Get From Here to Heaven on MP3 CD? Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You want to reach us by phone? Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Want to reach us by mail? Send your gift to Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.